This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, Eternal Judgment, Part 1. All judgment has been given to Christ, requiring everyone to give an account. However, the great news is that Jesus has made provisions for believers to be forgiven. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
We're in Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Here there are six doctrinal truths that the writer lays out. Here are the basic elementary things. He says, let's not have to lay again and go back over the truth, the foundational truths of repentance from dead works. We talked about that already. Repentance from dead works, meaning that you repent from doing works that you think causes you to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. Salvation cannot be earned. He says, repent from that. Repent from doing things that you think gets you into heaven. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Look at your neighbor and say, we are people of faith. And it's not just faith in anything. We have faith toward God. That's where our faith goes. We believe in God. We trust God. Verse 2 says, of the doctrine of baptisms. We talked about those baptisms. Matter of fact, we pointed out there are five various baptisms in the Bible. But that particular week, we focused on water baptisms. And we challenged people to make sure they have been properly and appropriately water baptized. Of the laying on of hands, we talked about laying on of hands, not allowing people to impart their spirit, their mindset, their heart on you. Laying on of hands. Be careful who you listen to, who you let lay hands on you. Be careful of what books you read, what movies you watch, what shows you subscribe to. In the words of the great theologian MC Hammer, we say, you can't touch this. Be careful of who you allow to influence you. Last week, we talked about the resurrection of the dead, the fact that we all will be raised from the dead. And let me bring a little bit of clarity, because last Sunday, when I finished teaching on resurrection of the dead, multiple people asked me about cremation. And I know I mentioned it at the start of my message, but I think since I got so many questions about it, I mean multiple people asked me about it, I wasn't clear about cremation. So let me be clear. Can I rewind and just back up a little bit and just rehearse what I said last week so we can all be clear? Here's what I said last week. Everybody will be resurrected. So it doesn't matter how you died. It doesn't matter what happened to your body when you die. Everyone will be resurrected. So whether you got burned in a fire, whether you got buried at sea, whether you got cremated, it doesn't matter what happens to you, everybody's going to be resurrected. And you're going to be resurrected into a body, and a new body. And the question is, where would that body go? That body will either spend eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. It doesn't matter what happened to you. Just being cremated is not going to eliminate you from the resurrection. Is that clear? I thought I made it clear last week, but the number of questions that I got last week means I wasn't clear. So let me be clear. Let me be crystal clear that everybody will be resurrected. So, I think one of the services, you know, I said so much stuff every Sunday that I forget what I said and who I said it to. I did say that a lot of us are spending a lot of money in caskets that are going in the ground. Yeah, I haven't told my wife this, but I tell her, look, when this thing passes away, you can do whatever you want with it. Because the real me will be in another location in another place. Now, if you don't have your theology straight, and somebody that you love die, you will try to climb up in the casket with them. And I've seen that during the course of my pastorate. I've seen people do crazy things. I've seen people act crazy. And I want us to be clear, as believers in Christ, as children of God, that when this earthly tabernacle dissolves, we have another building not made by the hands of men. Yeah, that's what the scriptures teach. So we're not going to climb up in the casket. We're not going to go ballistic and lose our minds. We ain't going to... We know that there's another building, there's another place that we go. And to be absent in the body, when you leave this body, when you are saved, it means to be present with the Lord. We talked about that last week, so I want y'all to be crystal clear about that. All right, let me get into to what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about the last one of these doctrinal issues, which is eternal judgment. Eternal judgment is the very last point in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 6, eternal judgment. What does that mean? Here's what judgment means. It means that we're going to be judged, that God makes a decision. He pronounces a sentence or a verdict on us. He judges our life, and he decrees a judgment upon us. And it's critical for us to understand that once that decision has been made, it's eternal. It's an eternal decision. Once God makes the determination about your life, your destiny, it will last for eternity. Look at your neighbor and say, there ain't no making up or changing after he's made that decision. Go ahead, tell him. Now, I need to say that because some religions teach that, you know, you can work your way out of hell, or work your way out of purgatory, or work your way out of some in-between place and work your way to heaven. That's foreign to the Bible. That is not in the Bible. The Bible is crystal clear about this. When you in this life here, the decision of where you're going to spend eternity has been determined already. And there's nothing that anybody can do for you on this side. And matter of fact, ain't nothing you can do on the other side, because you go where you're going to go. And so I want to talk about this matter of eternal judgment. Here's my first point that's very important. I want you to go to John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It gives us our very first point that I want to share with you today. John chapter 5, the Gospel of John. Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says this. For the Father judges no one. Look, stick a pen right there. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Here is a very significant point, that all judgment has been given to Christ. He is the one that has been relegated and delegated the responsibility of judging us, Jesus himself. And this text says the Father doesn't judge anybody. He's committed that assignment to his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you honor the Son, you honor the Father. By the way, if you don't honor the Son, you dishonor the Father. That's what that all points out to me. What does that mean? It means, bottom line is this, that one day we are going to be judged by the Jesus that we either accepted as our Lord and Master, or the one whom we rejected as our Lord and Master. And so that's the ultimate question. What do you do with Jesus? Now, I know some people say, well, there's many ways to heaven. I don't know any verse that says that. Matter of fact, I know a verse that says the very opposite of that. Jot this down. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father, Jesus said, except through me. He says, if you want to get to God the Father, you got to come through me. He says, I am the way that you have to go. Now, you know, there's a whole lot of different religions that teach something different, but I'm hanging my hat on what Jesus said. I believe what Jesus says. And I'm recognizing that in John 5, it says he's the one that's judging everybody. We all will have to stand before him and give an account, because all judgment has been given to Jesus. He's the one that's going to be making the determination of who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. That has been put in Jesus' hands. That's point one. Here's point two. John 14:6. Romans 14:6. Romans 14:6. Turn there very quickly. And just slow down, Pastor. Romans 14:12. Can I just slow down? Let me just slow down. I feel pressure because my time is running out and I got a long way to go. I'm just going to take my time. If I go over time, I just go over time. Now, you're not going to be excited about this, but this is the truth. Here's what Romans 14:12 says. So then each of us, verse 12, chapter 14 of Romans. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Each of us must give an account to God. We all must answer to God. We must answer, and through Jesus, he's the conduit. It's been given to him, but we must all give an answer. We must all give an account for what we did. What do we have to give an account for? I'm glad you asked the question. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I forgot to tell y'all this was a Bible study. Did I tell y'all this was a Bible study? I forgot to tell y'all this is a Bible study, because y'all don't come to Bible study. I'm bringing Bible study to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do y'all see that? That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we have to give an account. There's several things we got to give an account for. Here's number one. We have to give an account for our deeds, what you did, what you done. Now, you done some stuff. How many of y'all done some stuff you wish you hadn't did? Okay, how many of y'all are doing some things that you wish you wasn't doing? A whole lot more of y'all should have raised your hands on that point. Whatever you're doing and whatever you done did, you're going to have to answer to God. I believe that there are angels recording our actions and our behaviors and our choices and our decisions and what we do. And this verse says, whether it's good or bad, you're going to have to give an account to God for the deeds that you've done. We must give an account of our deeds. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Let's go to Matthew 12:36. Matthew 12:36. Here's what this says. Matthew 12:36 says, but I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Ooh, that's a tension verse right there. That y'all missed it. Here's what it says. Every word that you say. How many of y'all ever said something, and the moment you said it, you said, I wish I could reach back and grab those words and pull it back? Yeah. Every idle word, every single word, everything you say, you're going to have to give an account to God. Every idle thing you said. Now, I used to say this all the time, that if the worst problem I had in the church was people cussing, I would build a cussing lounge out in the lobby. But this verse tells me that everything that comes out of your mouth, everything you said to people, everything, every lie that you've told. Ooh, I felt something right there. Every dishonest thing that you said, you will one day have to answer to God. Does that scare any of y'all? I heard more amens from this section than I did this section right here. Yeah. What you need to do is, before you speak, think. Write that down. I want my wife to think about some of the things she has said to me. Some of the things she has said that hurt me deeply. She told me one time, the problem with you, John Jenkins, is we both in love with you. You're going to have to answer for that, saying that to me. I still haven't recovered, even though it was years ago when she said it. It's still fresh in my mind. How many of y'all know words that you say stay in people's minds? They remember things you say to your children. Your children will remember stuff you said to them. Y'all need to learn to speak positively to your children, to speak highly to your kids. Tell your kids they can do whatever they want to do. They can be whatever they want to be. They can achieve whatever they want to achieve. Speak positivity over your kids. Speak positivity over your spouse. Speak positivity to your employers and your employees. Speak positively. Say, recognize that whatever comes out of your mouth one day, you're going to have to answer to God. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. We're going to have to give an account of our words. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's in the Old Testament if you don't know where it is. Just jot it down. You're not going to find it in time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Ooh. Y'all missed it right there. Yeah, look straight ahead. Nobody will know I'm talking about you. Because the scripture says, even your secret stuff. Even the things that you think nobody else knows about but you. Amen. God knows about it. And though you think that it's been hidden and pushed under the rug and nobody will ever find out about it, God says one day we'll have to stand before him and give an account of our secrets. Let me just wait and let that sink in for a moment. I need you to think about that. I need you to ponder that. I need you to reflect upon that we must give an account for the secrets that we have. You cannot escape the Lord. He sees everything you do, even your secrets. Let me jot these two verses down. I'm going to give you two verses, but I'm going to tell you what they mean. I'm not going to read them because it would take me too long to read these two passages. But Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. Luke 19, verse 11 through 27. Here's what this tells us, that we have to give an account to God for how we handled the gifts and talents that he gave to us. And here's the truth of the matter is that God has put in you some gifts and talents, and he put them in you so that you would utilize them for the advancement of his kingdom. And one day you'll have to answer to God about what you did with the gifts and talents that he put in you. You'll have to give an account of whether or not you used them for his glory and for his reputation and for his kingdom. I know you've used a lot of your gifts and a lot of stuff you got for the benefit of others and for the benefit of your sorority or your fraternity, but only what you do for Christ is what's going to last. We used to sing a song years ago, "You may build skyscrapers, builders high and tall, but only what you do for Christ will last." Amen. That is the ultimate thing. And in both of these passages, Jesus tells a parable in teaching the disciples. He tells them a story about a man, a master who went away on a journey, and he left gifts and talents. He left money. He left resources with his servants. And when he came back after being gone for a while, he came back and some of those servants took what they had been given and they multiplied it, while at least one of these individuals in each one of these stories did nothing with what was given to them. And there may be some of you today that God has put stuff in you, but you haven't done anything with it. He's put gifts in you and talents that he wants you to utilize for his glory, but you've done absolutely nothing with it. And it would be tragic, it would be sad, it would be devastating to know today that here God has put something in you, but yet you did nothing about it. Only what you do for the Lord will last. And I raise the question with you today to think about the fact that you're going to have to stand before the Lord one day. You will have to give an account before the Lord Jesus himself and give an account for your deeds, your words, your secrets, your gifts and talents. You're going to have to give an account. Now let me close this message with my third and final point. That Jesus has made provisions for those who've accepted him to be forgiven. The truth be told, we all have to stand before the Lord, and some of us have some deeds that we're not so proud of. Some of us have said some words that haven't been exactly positive words, godly words. Some of us have had some secrets that we don't want nobody to know, but the Master knows. And all of us have got some gifts and talents that God has deposited in us. Everybody has some gifts and talents that God has deposited in you, and you've done nothing with them. And you'll have to give an account. But guess what? God is a God that will forgive you. Here's what Romans 8:1 says. Jot these verses down. I'm going to hit them real quick. I don't have time to turn to them. Just jot them down. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That makes me want to shout when I think about the fact that I'd have done enough to be condemned. But when I got in Jesus, it says, There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ, for those who are walking in Jesus, surrendered to him, believe in him, put their faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. There is no condemnation. We will not be condemned. I know that's hard for people to believe, but that's the power of what the gospel does for us. That's the power of what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross and was buried and rose again from the dead. That's the power of this gospel message right here, that he has made it possible for all of our sins to be forgiven. Somebody said there's no condemnation. Here's John 5:24. It says this, John 5:24, jot it down, write it down, read it when you get home. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Let me read that again. I say to you, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. This is Jesus talking. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 3:18, jot this one down. John 3:18 says, he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is a profound verse right here, because I think I said this last week. I want to say it again this week. Whether I said it again last week or not, I want to say it again this week. You don't go to hell for what you do. You go to hell because you reject Jesus. Because you refuse to allow him to be the Lord and master of your life. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is the name of Jesus that saves you, that gives you eternal life. And you know what the great news is? He not only gives you eternal life, he can give you life right now on this planet. He can give you the capacity. Now I want y'all to write, I'm hoping y'all have written these verses down so that when you talk to the people that y'all are relating to and who you're communicating with and who you're witnessing to, that you can give them truth. This Bible is truth. This is the unadulterated word of God that controls, should be controlling our life and calling the shots. And my assignment is to tell you to make sure you understand so you can share with your relatives and friends and neighbors and coworkers what it is that God wants of them in their life. Now, if you're here today and you recognize that, you know what, I have never accepted Jesus, you're in a very dangerous spot. If you die in your present condition, if you die have not accepting Jesus Christ, if you walk out of this building today and get in an accident and you are instantly killed and you never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you will spend eternity in hell. But guess what? You don't have to, because you're hearing the gospel right now. And if you want to accept him, you can get up out of your seat right now and come down here and he will forgive you. We can help walk you through getting in a relationship with the eternal God.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.